Morning. This morning, Chris Logan's going to speak. Chris and Rhea, we've been connected to them for a few years, hopefully somewhat supportive. They have started a home church in South Edmonton. Chris also works with Connecting the Streams that really impacts many disenfranchised in our culture. And so we're just very grateful for both of them, their service, their lives, and we pray for them and we love them, and so we're excited that you're here.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and it really is an honor. That was a humble introduction. The prayers that your church family has prayed over our family specifically and over our church family have meant more to us than my wife and I could really articulate. We do covet your prayers. We've been through some hills and some valleys, and it's been a roller coaster ride. And there's times where we've sat in our house and we've said, we know we have brothers and sisters that are holding us up. And so thank you for that. And I'm excited. I think it's my third or maybe fourth time sharing here over the last few years. And I'll share a little bit about our Connecting Streams work, maybe a little bit about church planting mixed in. But really, I want to encourage us as we get to share the good news of the gospel as part of what Jesus has done in our lives. We get to see that outflowing, that overpouring to others. So a couple years ago, I joined the Connecting Streams team, though, and the reason I did it was for that very reason. I love seeing people come to faith in Jesus. But one of the things I also love seeing is I love seeing other people kind of spread their wings and get out and share their faith, too. And this past ministry year has been an incredible ministry year for our ministry. We have six different ministry streams, and in the past year, we had 135 people say, yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior for the first time, which is amazing, right? And here's the what I want you to hear. I think out of that 135, there was only two, possibly three times that a staff member from Connecting Streams was present. It's all our volunteers that are just saying yes to Jesus, and they're going out trembling and shaking, but sharing their faith, and people are responding to Jesus. And it's amazing, right? And we just love seeing that. We love seeing God work through our lives. Regardless of how popular or accepted we think the message is, we have the greatest news the world has ever known. Jesus is God. He is good. He loves us. He pursues us. Everything that we need, he's accomplished on our behalf through his perfect life, his death and resurrection. And he offers it as a free gift of grace, right? It's the best news the world's ever heard. And so that's what we want to do is as a ministry, we want to come alongside churches and just help encourage and empower and just kind of bless you to go out and share this. We create environments where you can go to places and you can practice sharing your faith where people are coming sort of expecting to hear that message. And our specialty, I'll say, is we go to the vulnerable. We go to those whom God's heart breaks for. We want them to know that they are seen and they are heard and God loves them. But as I say, the gospel's good news, but as good news as it is, it can still be difficult to share our faith. And so my challenge this morning is going to be just a simple one. Can we say yes? Can we just say yes to God? I'll be obedient. You throw me a slow pitch, God, and I'll share my faith when you give me the opportunity. Telling people about Jesus isn't something we should do. It's something we get to do. We're invited into it. It makes sense to share good news. So a number of years ago, and this is an old story, and you'll know that when you hear the details pretty soon, but I had this friend from my small group, his name was Wes, and Wes was driving on Vancouver Island, and he was driving along in his car, and he gets this nudge from God. Wes, go buy a Coca-Cola. Well, that was his favorite drink, so he's like, this is great news from God, right? Easy thing to do. But he felt God wanted him to go buy a Coke from 7-Eleven, and 7-Eleven was an hour drive away. But he was single. He had nothing to do. He had no plans. So he's like, okay, I'll just be obedient. So he drives an hour to 7-Eleven, buys a Coke, and this is where you know it's an old story. It cost him 75 cents for a can of Coke. And he had a loonie, so he pays, he gets his change. And as he's walking out, there's a teenager standing at a payphone. And so if you're doing the math with me, you know he has 25 cents left. Back before phone calls were 35 cents. Some people here probably don't know what a payphone is. And Wes is walking, and he takes the quarter, and he flicks it through the air at this kid. Randomly, he doesn't know why he did this. He flicks the quarter through the air, and as it's flipping through the air, he says, and some people say there's no God. And the kid grabs, and he says, do you know my dad? He was the pastor's kid from that town. He had run away from home, and he was looking at the phone. He's like, is this my moment to call my dad to come pick me up? Amazing how God just brings things together, right? And I love how he works. And I think about stories like this, and I'm like, wouldn't you love to have that as your next campfire story or your next dinner party story? Because we serve a God who takes what the world calls coincidence, and he reveals it to be his providence. He speaks to people through his word, through prayer, through prompts, creation, nudges, through feelings, and he invites us to bring his love to change the world through his story. And so what seems really random at times to us could be part of a divine plan. There's this amazing story in the scriptures I want to look at this morning together in Acts chapter 8. So you can flip there if you have it, or if you got a swipey device, that works too. It's a story of something that might seem so random, and God uses it to do something amazing. So I want to read it for us in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, and then we'll kind of unpack this, and I'll share some stories along the way. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture, and he told him the good news of Jesus Christ. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Isn't it an amazing story? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our ears to hear your word, our minds to be transformed by truth, our hearts to resonate with your grace. May anything that distracts from you be dismissible, and may the seeds of the gospel find good soil and our strength be positioned towards Jesus. We long to know you and participate in your salvation story. Amen. Almost 9 years ago, we started on our church planning journey. Actually, it's just a little bit over 9 years, I think, now. And in those 9 years, we've seen a handful of people come to faith in Jesus. And so we understand, you know, it's difficult. It's a grind, and it's not easy to share our faith with our neighbors. To be transparent, it's not just difficult to share our faith, as a lot of people aren't sure they want to hear it. But there's this internal wrestle too, right? Our own sinful natures, I know mine, wants to be comfortable and convenient and have everything that my neighbors have and not worry about, you know, the stuff that really actually matters. But as Christians, we're part of an empowered community, the church. And as a part of the church, we get this amazing thing. We get Spirit-sending stories. Stories like we just read from Philip, and I shared about this friend Wes. Philip was a guy who started coordinating a food bank for widows. And then all of a sudden, he finds himself everywhere preaching the gospel and baptizing people. Now, maybe our stories won't be as dramatic as Philip's story, but they start with the same Holy Spirit nudge. If you look at verse 26, it says, go. Go south to the road. Go. Go to the coffee shop down the street. Go to your neighbor's place. Go over to your colleague's workstation. Go to the opportunity that God has set before you. Why? Because God loves making a good story, and obedience is the way we get to be a part of that story. In verse 27, it says, so he started out. And I love that line. It sounds kind of like a Lord of the Rings type adventure, right? He started out. He had no idea why God was taking him from a thriving, healthy, fun ministry and sending him out into the desert of northern Sudan in the hottest part of the day when nobody would be there. But God said, go. And so he goes out. He simply started out. Spirit-sending stories, people responding to God at any moment when he prompts them. And now, you know, if you're really paying attention to the story, you might have picked up on this detail. It says in verse 26 that an angel appeared to him. If an angel appeared to me, that makes it easy, right? Go, oh yeah, hey, angel, let's go. But look at this, in verse 29, it also says the Spirit told Philip. And scholars think that these two verses are interchangeable. So we actually don't know how God communicated to Philip. Did he literally see an angel? Did he audibly hear a voice? We don't know. It could have been a vision. It could have been he was reading scripture. It could have been a nudge, something that the Spirit whispered to him. All we know is Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says that we are to go and bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so Philip can trust this nudge of the Spirit because it completely lines up with the teaching of Jesus. It's one of the reasons it's important to know our scriptures and know the Bible so that when God speaks to us, we know, okay, this is his voice because this is something Jesus would tell me to do. When the Spirit sends you into a story, here's the best part. He will always give you what you need to work that story out. So he'll never send you unequipped. You'll always have the words you need to say, the ears you need to listen with, whatever it is that he wants you to do, he will equip you. And it'll always line up with God's word and his character. Another reason it's important to know our Bibles is empowered people share scripture. So Philip sets off into the desert, and he gets a second prompting of the Spirit. It says to go over by this chariot. Now, this is the hottest part of the day, so this chariot isn't ripping through the desert. It's just a wagon ride, right? And so Philip goes running up alongside it. And I love this moment because imagine God says to you, okay, go down to the coffee shop and share your faith, and you're already starting to sweat. And then you get to the coffee shop, and the guy's reading the Bible. It's low-hanging fruit, right? Philip runs up by this chariot, and the guy's reading the scriptures out loud. And he's reading from Isaiah 53 about how the Messiah will suffer unjustly and be killed for the sins of other people. That's not a bad segue into the gospel. But I think it would have helped Philip that he knew that story. And so he was able to make that connection. And so it's important to know the scriptures. A few years ago, one of my friends called me. He's a really good friend. And he wasn't a believer at the time. And he calls me up totally out of the blue, and he emphatically tells me, Chris, I'm going to read the Bible cover to cover. And as a man of faith, I thought, there's no way you're going to do it. Who can read the Bible cover to cover? It's a hard book. It's a huge book. Like, look at the size of this thing. And so I didn't say that out loud. Out loud, I said to him, why don't you start in the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there's probably some of you here that are like, yeah, that's what I would say too, right? Chris, if this book is worth reading, it's worth reading from Genesis to Revelation, or I am not going to read it. And I'm sitting there totally dumbfounded. And in my dumbfoundedness, thankfully, I was quiet enough to hear a nudge from the Spirit. Read it with him. Read it together. So, okay. Hey, how about this? How about we download, because we lived in different towns. How about we download the Bible app on YouVersion Bible, and we pick a Bible plan and we read it cover to cover together at the same time, and then if you have any questions, you can text me. Well, over the next year, I watched God get a hold of his life. It was just absolutely incredible. And at the end of the year, he just said, all I can tell you is I read the Bible and my life has changed. I believe that God actually made the Bible purposely hard to understand. That might sound funny, but I think he did it because he wants us to read it in community. He wants it to read it with others. One of my mentors, Caesar Kalinowski, says the gospel moves at the speed of relationship and along the pathways of trust. If God is all about loving relationship with him, loving relationship with one another, doesn't it make sense that he would have us read his favorite book together? The center of the story is Jesus came to restore all relationships, people to creation, people to people, and people to God. And so it makes sense that we read together and that we learn how our stories interact with God's stories. We all have different on-ramps, but it's all God's story and our stories coming together. And I love this verse 31, the importance of knowing the Bible, right? Because the man says to Philip, he says, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? Here's the difference today. Philip was reading with the Ethiopian off a scroll. Now we just open our phones and scroll down to what we want to read. That's the only difference. It's the same words, right? So along with being familiar with the Bible, though, I think another thing that can help, and I'm going to do this super fast, so don't feel like you have to retain all this next little bit. But if we know the whole story of the scriptures in four parts, it helps it kind of make it a little bit easier to see maybe where God is working in someone's life and also how we can share the gospel. And so I've broken it down into four parts, and I didn't make this up. I borrowed this from someone. But the four parts of the story of God are creation, fall, restoration, and new creation. And that's even complicated for me, so I made it simpler. God, sin, Jesus, faith. God created the world, and he created people to share in his love and his glory and to steward creation. But all people represented by the original couple, they decided to do their lives apart from God. And so sin entered the world. It broke our relationship between us and God, between us and each other, and between us and the world. And we see all that brokenness around us. Just turn on the news. But God didn't leave us there. He became a person. He pursued us, and he entered into our world, Jesus. Jesus came, and he lived the perfect life of worship we couldn't live. He died the death we deserve, and he rose again, defeating death. And now he offers us a new way to live, and we can receive that, and the last part of the story, by faith. We can receive that gift of salvation, and we can begin to live in the story of God, where we live out the loving acts of God and begin to transform and see our world transformed with God together. That's the good news. So that's what Connecting Streams does. We would take a story like the whole scripture and we'd come and teach you and say, here's how you can share your faith, or here's one part of your faith that you can focus on when you're sharing your faith with someone. Listen for these kinds of questions and these words and you can key in. And we love to equip and train churches. So that's something that our ministry does. And I'm just laying it out there. You can take or leave that, but it's an offer if you want to have some evangelism training. We love to do that. When we share scripture, sometimes we'll share it in a story form. Sometimes we'll paraphrase the scripture, we'll memorize it. Here's what you don't need. You don't have to memorize it in King James. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You only need to know Jesus. You need to trust Jesus and remember that he's the hero of every story. One of our Connecting Streams ministries, we disciple people who are recovering from addiction. And my wife, Rhea, she went and she serves in one of these ministries. And so she went through our fairly extensive volunteer process, and she was a little bit nervous. She goes to this addiction recovery home, and it's her first time going. She has no idea what to expect, and she just knows she's going there to share scripture with people. And she walks in, and her first time, she walks in and there's a lady sitting in a chair and she has her Bible open on her lap. And she says, she looks up at my wife and she says, I know this book will change my life, but I need help understanding it. Acts chapter 8 happening today. Word for word, right? It's incredible. My first time going into the prisons was not that long ago, and I went in to one of the prisons in the Edmonton area, and I'm not sure if the guard was kind of poking fun, but you go into this unit and you feel out of place because you're the only one not wearing an orange jumpsuit, you and like two others on your team. We always send people in teams. We never send you alone, especially to prison. And so you go in and the door closes behind you and it's loud, right? It slams and you're just like, oh, okay, now we're in here. There's 200 inmates around us just kind of wandering around. It looks like a cafeteria. And so we tell the guard we're going to do chapel. And the guard gets on the intercom. And again, I don't know if he was making fun of us or trying to break the ice, but he's like, hey, if anyone here needs Jesus, follow these folks over there. And 15 guys get up and walk over. Some of them were there because they just wanted some entertainment to break up their day. Some of them were there because something was going on inside of them and they needed it. Some guys left halfway through and other guys came and joined and stayed to the end. And we watched God touch men's lives right in that prison, right in that hour time slot that we had with them. If we, like Philip, are obedient to God, we get to follow him into just incredible places where people are hungry. This story is from our church plant, from our neighborhood. One of our neighbors, she was a new believer at the time. She's growing in her faith. And she calls us up and she says, can I come to your house? I have a God question. And we're like, yeah, for sure. Come on over. So we set up a coffee later the next week and she comes over and she asks us this question. Do I really have to love God above all else? And we looked at her and said, well, there's a really quick, easy answer we could just give to you. But explain that a little bit more to us. And I mean, we could have just quoted Matthew 22:37, right? The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We could have went to Exodus 20 and we could have quoted the Ten Commandments that were to love God and have no other idols before him. But quoting scripture isn't necessarily sharing the gospel. So when we asked her to explain what you mean by this, she said, I think I love my family more than I love God. I thought, what an honest statement. And there, you could see it in her face. There was this burden on her that loving God first was weighing her down. Like she couldn't do it. And Jesus says, when you're weighed down, when you're heavy burdened, when you're weary, come to him and you'll find rest, that his teaching is light and it'll encourage us. And so we told her, we said, yes, you know, the gospel does call us to love God above all else, but here's the thing. Most of us aren't as honest as you. We don't do it. In fact, we can't do it. But Jesus loved God with his heart, soul, mind, and strength perfectly for you. And now you can go to him, and I'm not able to do it. You can exchange it at the cross for his, it is done. It is finished. He did it for us. And here's the news just keeps getting better. Because once you pray that and you confess that at the cross, now Jesus is going to give you his perfect love. And as you love God first, his perfect love is going to fill you, and you're going to be able to take his unending, incredible, you know, always giving love, and you're going to be able to love your family with that love. So your love for your family won't diminish when you love God first. It'll actually grow and strengthen, and your family will receive even greater love because you'll be receiving God's love and sharing that. God's grace and love is beyond what we can imagine. But what do we do when people hear this message and they say, this is good, and I do want this? How do we respond? How do we help others respond to God's grace? Well, when given the opportunity to share the gospel and the good news is received, another thing we get to do as an empowered community is we suggest next steps. The gospel always calls for response. Now, the Holy Spirit might reveal what that response is directly to the person. It might reveal it to you. But as the person who's walking with God, you kind of get to be the one who says, yeah, that sounds like something God would ask. And so we see that in our text in Acts chapter 8, verse 36. I'll just read it again. It says, they traveled along the road, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in my way of being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. His next step was baptism. And we don't know exactly how it was connected, that Philip connected Isaiah 53 to sharing the gospel of Jesus. But in that story, they came to that idea that the next step is to be baptized. And here's an amazing thing. It said that the eunuch was traveling back from the temple. And I'm not going to get into the details of what a eunuch is. Pastor Lewis wants to talk about that in another time. But eunuchs weren't allowed into the inner court of the temple. And so he had just gone to a place to worship where he wasn't allowed to come in and enter. And now he encounters Jesus and the community called the church. And it's radically inclusive. And Jesus says, get baptized. Enter in. You're welcome here. All of who you are, come in and be with me. It's this incredible moment that he gets radically invited into being a part of Jesus' family. It's open to everyone who trusts in him. Inviting people to take next steps is important to their growth. Peter does the same thing in Acts chapter 2. The people respond to his sermon, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus. He actually gave them two steps, right? Repent and be baptized. And he says, for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you'll receive the Holy Spirit. So it's almost like a third thing. He gives them a bunch of next steps. When you read through the Gospels, Jesus did this all the time. People would encounter him, and then he would give them instructions, and sometimes we'd scratch our heads at why he gave them. Like, sometimes he'd say, okay, now that I've done that, don't tell anybody. And you'd be like, what? And then he says, now that I did this, go tell everybody. Oh, okay, that's different. Now that I've done this, you know, don't continue in the sinful pattern anymore. Sometimes he'd say, now that I've done this, go serve people or go have something to eat. Take courage, have faith, repent, believe, follow me. Jesus always gave a next step when people responded to him. In Connecting Streams, we have this ministry called Conversation Cafe, and it's we create space for newcomers to Canada to practice their English. And in that space, they just simply, it's a space to practice their English, but we let them know, we also have a Discovery Bible group that covers the same topic from a Christian's perspective. And if you want to come and join our Discovery Bible group, you can do that. And lots of them do. They want to come and practice their English more and kind of hear what we believe from our faith. And so they come, and in every Discovery group, we end with the next step. This is what we'd like you to try this week, and then you can tell us how it went at the end of the week. And so one week, the leader was talking about creation and God creating the world. And so the next step was, go this week and do something beautiful for God. And so there was this one fellow, and he was a brand new believer in the group, and he went home, and this puzzled him. Do something beautiful for God. I don't know what to do. And this idea just pops in his head, so he goes and does it. And he comes back the next week, and he says, well, I did something for God, but I don't know if it counts. I'm like, well, what did you do? Well, my mom's in a long-term care home, and she's from my same country of origin, obviously, and has never heard the gospel. So I went to her, and I told her the story of Jesus. And she received Jesus as her Lord and Savior, and she's wondering if someone from here could come next week and baptize her. Does that count as something beautiful for God? This week it'll count. It's amazing, right? Like, just how God leads us gently and prepares the way. There's so many next steps we can suggest to people. Baptism is obviously a great next step. If you haven't been baptized, on behalf of the church family here, I'll just invite you, jump in the tank. It's an amazing, amazing experience to follow in Jesus' footsteps with him. But there's lots of good next steps. You could invite them to pray. You could invite them to read the Bible, to receive God's grace, to maybe take a step of obedience. Maybe it's just sending them on a journey of study. Go study this truth for yourself. Go dig into this and find out what you believe. Any step that would point their life towards Jesus is a great next step. As I get to the last part of this message and the last part of the passage, it ends kind of strange, if you remember. And there's something important in here that we can miss in the strangeness of God's word sometimes. So Philip baptizes the man, and then the strangest things happen. It says, the Lord took Philip away. He just disappears. And it's very similar to when, like, Luke wrote the book of Acts, and when he wrote the Gospel of Luke, the same thing happens with Jesus, right? Jesus, after he was resurrected, he breaks bread with his disciples, and then he just vanishes before their eyes. And we're like, what happened? And we don't know. It's kind of strange. But here's what we do know, and here's what's really important from the text. The response of the Ethiopian official. It says, he went on his way rejoicing. Jesus' followers know significant moments need to be celebrated. Church, we are the party people. We have more to celebrate than anybody else on the planet, now and for eternity. In fact, we have so much to celebrate that Jesus says, keep inviting people in, the chairs will never fill up. Just keep bringing them. Every moment that we encounter God's grace is a moment to celebrate. And I say that, but it's not even that easy either, right? Because we go through these times and we go through seasons where celebration feels distant or feels difficult. And again, it's why we need one another to encourage each other. What are we thankful for? Where have we seen God's grace? Not 20 years ago, but where did we see God's grace in the last week? Let's point those things out to one another so we keep refreshing ourselves and being ready to see all that God has done for us. Because significant moments need celebration. And God does so many things in our lives all the time, and it's easy to miss them if we're not looking and not encouraging one another. Let me pray for you. I want to pray that God just opens your eyes to become a church of celebration in a new way beyond what you've already experienced. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, may you bless Morinville Alliance Church to become known as the party people. May celebration and joy fill your church family and the presence of God and your face shine upon them. May the things that they celebrate become the experiences they duplicate. You are an awesome God. Remind them they don't have to sweat the small stuff, but they get to celebrate the significant things of faith. Show them how to bring the kingdom of heaven to every party they throw and every party they join. Fill the seats and continue to open more as they invite people to know you, Jesus. May they talk about you and celebrate all that you are doing in them, through them, and around them. And I pray that as you do this in this church family, they'd be filled with more and more incredible stories from the God who is able to do immeasurably more than we all can ask or imagine, according to his power at work within. And we pray this for your name and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus, come. fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, your heart in the stream of life.
I'm going to do three things. One, I'm going to pray for Chris and Rhea and their family. The second, I'm going to do a few announcements. The third is I'm going to do a benediction. And after we sing one more song, we'll be dismissed. Jesus, we just thank you for your presence here. We pray for Chris and Rhea and their children. We pray for your favor and presence to be upon them. They would have a sense of your love, of your care, and your kindness toward them, going before and behind them, providing for them every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just, if you don't know where the Welcome Center is, that's where all the clipboards are. Yeah. So, we're going to have soup and pie on the 10th, and so we just encourage you to sign up what kind of soup you'd like to bring or what kind of pie. You normally need about 10 different kinds of soups, and so you can do that. A lot of our groups that are starting in September, you can sign up for those. A big thing that's going to happen on the 10th is our nursery is going to begin again, our Sunday school is going to begin again, and we need, in particular for our ARC, we need teachers. And if you've never taught before, we'll walk you through that. It's a great expression of being able to pour into the generation that's coming after us, our children. So I just really encourage you to be a part of that and signing up and helping us work. One last thing is that at the back of our church, if you want prayer after the service, people will be there to pray for you. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing the best thing that ever happened in our lives is our encounter with Jesus. And so I encourage you this week to be open to allowing God to guide you to sharing Jesus with somebody who hasn't experienced Him as the best thing that's ever happened. Amen.
Will you stand as we close the service?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy. eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
To see
you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Holy, 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 holy,
open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Light of your glory, pour out your power.